Good morning, everyone. We're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, a strange thing to do on a Saturday morning. For some people, for a lot of people, it's strange. And we're reading from First Canto, Chapter 5, Narada's instructions to on Srimad Bhagavatam. Of course, he is instructing Srila Vyasadeva. And by the grace of Shukadeva Goswami, we're also, not Shuka, Suta Goswami, correction, we're also hearing. Yesterday, Hari Bhakti Prabhu suggested that imagination has an important place in spiritual life. It's a big topic, but I would tend to agree with him. And one way we could use our imagination this morning is that we could imagine that we are listening in as Narada is speaking to Vyasa. We are sneaking in to the conversation, sitting on the sidelines and hearing Narada. I mean, that would be pretty far out, no? Narada is sitting right there. Wow. Okay, so I've selected this verse because it has to do with the holy name. And before we chant this verse, because you see, it begins with iti, and iti in Sanskrit, it's like quotation marks, but it's quotation around the previous verse. And Prabhupada often translates it as thus. Yes, as he does here. But I'm going to read the verse 37 just briefly, and then we'll chant together 38. 37 is like this. Om namo bhagavate tubhyam vasudevaya dhimahi pradyumnaya nirudhaya namasankarshanaya cha. Let us all chant the glories of Vasudeva along with his plenary expansions, Pradyumna, Aniruddha, and Sankarsana. Okay, I won't read that purport. You can read yourselves. Now let's chant this. Iti murtyavidanena. Iti murtyavidanena. Mantra murtim amurtikam. Mantra murtim amurtikam. Yajate yagya purusham. Yajate yagya purusham. Sa samyak darshana puma. Sa samyak darshana puma. Iti murtyavidanena. Mantramurtim amurtikam. Yajate yagya purusham. Sa samyak darshana puma. Let's start with the ladies chanting for a change. Sadasamyak darshanapuman. Okay, gents. No gents. It's always like that. Somebody, keep going. Mantra Murti Amurtikam. Yajate Yagya Purusham. Sasamyak Darshanat Kuman. Sasamyak Darshanat Kuman. Good. Okay. What's it mean? Iti, thus, murti, representation, abhidanena, in sound, mantramurtim, form representation of transcendental sound, amurtikam, the Lord, who has no material form. Yajate, worship. Yajna, Vishnu. Purusham, the personality of Godhead. Sa, he alone. Samyak, perfectly. Darshana, one who has seen. Puman, person. Translation purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Purport. Our present senses are all made of material elements, and therefore they are imperfect in realizing the transcendental form of Lord Vishnu. He is therefore worshipped by sound representation via the transcendental method of chanting. Anything which is beyond the scope of experience by our imperfect senses can be realized fully by the sound representation. A person transmitting sound from a far distant place can be factually experienced. If this is materially possible, why not spiritually? This experience is not a vague, impersonal experience. You know the word vague? Vague? Vision. Huh? Vision. Okay. This experience is not a vision. Impersonal experience. It is actually an experience of the transcendental personality of Godhead, who possesses the pure form of eternity, bliss, and znanya. In the Amarakosha Sanskrit dictionary, the word murti carries import in twofold meanings. Namely, form and difficulty. Therefore, amurtikam is explained by Acharya Sri Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur as meaning without difficulty, amurtikam. The transcendental form of eternal bliss and knowledge can be experienced by our original spiritual senses, which can be revived by chanting of the holy mantras or transcendental sound representations. Such sound should be received from the transcendental agency of the bona fide spiritual master. And the chanting may be practiced by the direction of the spiritual master. That will gradually lead us nearer to the Lord. This method of worship is recommended in the Pancharatrika system, which is both recognized and authorized. The Pancharatrika system has the most authorized codes for transcendental devotional service. Without the help of such codes, such instructions, such directions, one cannot approach the Lord, certainly not by dry philosophical speculation. Sushka. What's the Slovenian word for dry? Suha. Similar to Sanskrit, sushka. The Pancharatrika system is both practical and suitable for this age of quarrel. The Pancharatra is more important than the Vedanta for this modern age. So ends Prabhupada's purport to the verse. Iti murti abhidanena mantra murtim amurtikam. Yajate yajna purusham sa samya darshana puman. Thus, he is the actual seer who worships in the form of transcendental sound representation, the Supreme Personality of Godhead Vishnu, who has no material form. Does Vishnu have a material form? And yet, he has a form. That's the claim, right? This, for many philosophers, and also for us ordinary folk, would be a sort of contradiction in terms. Something has form, it's got to be material. Takes form. This philosophy goes all the way back to Aristotle. Remember Aristotle? Anyway, he talked a lot about form and matter and substance and all such things. He said, actually, when you perceive something, that means you can't perceive something unless it has form. But something doesn't have form unless there's matter which makes the form. One example is given. You have a brick. What do you call a brick?
Opeka.
Who?
Opeka.
So, jeden opeka. Anna opeka. Anna. Sounds like lazy Croatian. Anna. Whoops, now I'm in trouble. Beautiful language. So you have a opeka, Anna opeka. And what is it made of? It's made of clay. So the clay is the matter, and the brick is the form. But what is the matter with which a house is made? The matter of the house is bricks. So it's a little complicated, but the general point is that since Aristotle, we associate form with matter, and that means material. And here, Prabhupada in his translation is saying, Vishnu has no material form. Huh? How does that work? This is quite a challenge to our ways of thinking. Well, I just thought I'll back up and put this a bit into context of what Narada is telling Vyasa. As you may know, Vyasa is he is concerned because he's done a lot of writing. He's done a lot of compiling of literature, which we call very broadly we call Vedic literature. And although he's done all this amazing work, compiling work, he doesn't feel happy. He doesn't feel happy in his heart. He feels like, something is missing. I don't know, I've missed the point, or something is wrong. He has a sense of what is wrong, and Narada, as he does, he shows up always at just the right time. He's got this special qualification when he hears somebody is needing his instruction. Then, zip, there he is. So there's Narada, and he's essentially confirming what Vyasadeva suspected, which was he was missing the glorification of the Lord. He was putting Krishna sometimes into his works, but always more or less in the background. And this was, you know, not really benefiting, the readers. So he's then, Narada, confirming this point, he's also telling his own story, his own How I Became a Hare Krishna story. And one thing interesting about this story is that it's meant to encourage all of us, because the story begins in his previous life, and in his previous life, who is Narada? He's basically a nobody. He's a son of a servant, maid servant. That means he's what we say in English, every man. He's every man. He's anyone. He's ordinary guy. But he is, of course, he's greatly blessed. Why? Because his mother is serving these sages. We don't get any names of any of the sages, but it's a group of sages. And Prabhupada refers to them as Bhakti Vedantas to suggest that this is the very same tradition which he is following in his translation and explanation. And he's very much blessed by them, because they see that this little boy is serious. He's got the right, as another American expression, he's got the right stuff. He's got the right stuff. He's got the right spirit, we would say, perhaps more generally. And so they bless him, and with this blessing he becomes very much empowered, and the story goes on from there, how he loses his mother, she dies very suddenly, and so on, and he's left alone like that. But he's been prepared, and so he's ready to completely, in a completely focused way, he's ready to search out the Supreme Shelter, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now, he explains a little bit, I think it's before he gets to that later part of his experience. He explains one point, which is what I want to get at. He says, so the Bhaktivedantas leave, they bless him. And then he says, by that confidential knowledge, this is verse 31 of that chapter, I could understand clearly the influence of the energy of Lord Sri Krishna, the creator, maintainer, and annihilator of everything. By knowing that, one can return to him and personally meet him. So he's saying he's completely equipped now by their blessings to meet them. And then, next verse, it is decided by the learned that the best method for removing all troubles and miseries, Shishi Pancha Tattva Ki Jai, is, do you want to hear what is the best method to remove all troubles and miseries? It's to dedicate one's activities to the service of the Supreme Lord Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. That's it. We already knew that. Well, maybe, but then again, maybe not so thoroughly. But now here comes the sort of clincher which I want to make. This is especially good, interesting for all of you in the medical profession. Verse 33, O good soul, does not a thing applied therapeutically cure a disease which was caused by that very same thing? To me, this sounds like homeopathic medicine. Am I right? Yeah. We have a few homeopathic doctors over here, I guess. So, yeah, you take some of the same thing that causes a disease, but in a homeopathic medicine, here's where the analogy breaks down, I think, because in homeopathy, you dilute it super down to hardly detectable. But in spiritual life, we don't want to dilute, do we? We want to thicken it, right? We want to cook it down and make it thick and then drink it down and then, right? And this is therapeutic. This is the point. I find this very helpful to think about what it is that we do and what it is that we offer the world is therapy. Now, most people, we could say the world as a whole, is so diseased that they don't know that they're sick. The society we live in. Last night, I had a bit of trouble getting to sleep last night because right across the street is this, you know, this bar. And they're all whooping it up, you know, it's Friday night. They've been working hard all week. And now it's time to compensate, right? So they're drinking what they think is the nectar. And what is their nectar? It's tongue-loosening nectar. Why are they drinking together with others? Because it makes it easier to talk, and then that makes for easier social interaction, and they can say all sorts of things that they wouldn't say otherwise. And then the next morning, or is it the next afternoon when they wake up, they remember some of the things that they were saying, and they go, oh, no, why did I say that? So then there's so there's lamentation. I mean, this is a tiny symptom of the disease condition. One can, of course, go on and on and on and on and on about it. One symptom which I like to point out in the U.S. Is the percentage of people in prison. I don't know percentage, but it's the statistic I read, it's something over 700 people per 100,000 citizens, and that's the highest in the world. They like to lock people up behind prison walls. That's the American way to solve problems. We don't like you. Okay, we put you behind bars, and there you can rot. I think I've talked about this other times here. Anyway, let's just take it in general that society is diseased. Disease in English, the word disease means not healthy, but it also means without ease, without having a sense of ease, of well-being. And this is, another symptom you can see in American politics today. They're winding up to so-called elect a so-called president. And it's gone completely bonkers, the whole process. Don't get me started. it's become very polarized, and I think this is a symptom that the society as a whole is very diseased. All right, we don't want to get depressed. The point is, there is a process, a therapy, and what I see is being said here, it's not completely explicit, but sound is what's making everybody sick. Because what is everyone listening to? You know, they're listening to the politicians. And they're listening to all these other, essentially materially minded people. Sound pollution, we can call it. And this is just making society more and more diseased. The solution is also sound. The claim that is being made here is that there is a special kind of sound, and that is referred to as Mantramurti. So that Mantramurti is referred to in this verse that we've read as Amurtika. There's a bit of a play on the word Murti. Murti can mean form. Another word for Murti is Vigraha. So the Lord is Ishvara, Parama, Krishna, Sachit Ananda, Vigraha. He has the form of Sat, Chit, and Ananda. One usually doesn't think of form in such terms, and that's the point that that Prabhupada is making in his translation. There's spiritual form. So, how to adjust our brains to really comprehend that there is spiritual form? Well, it's not so much a matter of adjusting our brains. And the word is amurtikam. It means it's simple. It's easy. It's easy it's easy to chant, right? We find we can all chant Hare Krishna, and that's what we do. We chant japa. Well, I don't know. Sometimes devotees say it's not so easy. Especially late afternoon, by yourself. You've been doing things all day or evening. Oh, I only chanted 12 rounds today. I have four more rounds. Okay. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. Sometimes it's tough. Or at least we think it is. Are we chanting actually the spiritual name when we're in that mood? Maybe not. Somewhere in purports in this section, Prabhupada talks about, or he refers to, 10 aparadhas that we want to avoid. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur talks about these in his Harinama Chintamani, but then there's one which he kind of adds, and that is attention or inattention. And that's, I would suggest, and I think Bhaktivinoda Thakur says this, this is really the basis. You want to avoid all the offenses so that you can experience the holy name as spiritual. Yes? Anyone want to? Yes? Spiritual as cure rather than as cause of disease? Yes, we want cure. So, step one, be attentive. Now we may say, well, that's easy enough to say, be attentive. But to actually do it, not so easy. Why? Bahusaka hi anantas cha. The intelligence is many branched. It's like a tree with so many branches. They're all reaching out in different directions, in opposite directions, right? A tree has some branches going that way, but there's other branches going exactly the opposite way. So one moment, the intelligence, the attention is going this way, and in no time, it's going the opposite way. Have you noticed? If you haven't noticed, you're either not having this problem, or you're not paying attention to your mind. And Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, we should pay attention to our minds. The Buddhists talk about what they translate as mindfulness, which means being attentive to your mind, being attentive to how your mind works. And so this is a practice, it's a culture. Yeah. Okay. Iti murtyabhidhanina mantra murtim amurtikam yajate. Prabhupada translates as worship. And a few verses before, one verse before, Om Namo Bhagavate Tubhyam Vasudevaya Dhimahi. Dhimahi is an interesting word. You find it in the very, 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 very first verse of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Dhamna svena, just the last line. Dhamna svena sada nirasta kuhakam satyam param dhimahi. Yes. It's also in the Brahma Gayatri mantra, which the Brahmanas chant. And it's from the Brahma Gayatri we understand that the Bhagavatam, or to that, that it's referring. What does dhimahi mean? Prabhupada translates it here as, let us chant. It is, I looked it up, and it's the first person plural benedictive form of the verbal root da. Aren't you glad you know that? You never know, somebody might ask you. The verbal root dha means to place or to set, or in this context, because the names in this verse are in the dative case, so it can mean to meditate on. So, let us meditate on. Notice it's plural. Let us meditate on. Sounds a little like Sankirtan, doesn't it? If we turn this meditation into audible meditation, which is what we do when we do Sankirtan, then we have it in the Bhagavatam confirmed. Let us meditate on the names of the Lord. And as we know, it's also acknowledged by other sages that this is the process. Kalim sabajayantyarya guna gya sarabhagina. Arya can mean noble person. The noble ones, they say, Kalim sabajayanti arya guna gya, these noble ones who guna gya, they know what is good. Guna can mean quality, as it can also mean modes of nature. So you can take it. They also understand what are the modes of nature, and they understand the holy name is beyond. Kalim sabajayantyarya gunagya sarabhagina yatra sankirtanena eva. And here's the exciting part. Sarva sva arta avilabhyate. Avilabhyate from lab means to acquire, to get. Everybody wants to get something. What do we want to get? We want to get artha. We want to get value. We want to get meaning. Sva artha, our own, that which we are actually interested in. And not just one or two, but sarva. Sarva svartha avilabhyate. The sages appreciate that in the age of Kali, yet sankirtanena, by means of sankirtan, all purposes, arthas, of one's own are fulfilled. So even one may feel, I'm just personified selfishness. I don't care what anybody else does, thinks. The whole world can go to hell. I don't care. I want it all for me. The sages say, that's okay. Because if you do sankirtan, then you're going to get everything you need, everything you've ever longed for. And of course, there's a trick to it, because the self, what is the self? Everyone's thinking, and this is the disease condition, everyone's thinking they are the body, but if you engage in sankirtan, what happens? You realize, I'm not the body. And then it becomes possible to become absorbed, to meditate, dimahi. Or, put it the other way around, you keep endeavoring in this, then this brings about the dimahi, the meditation, and that meditation brings about the result. So, it's a cure. It's not a cure, it's the cure, especially in this age. Welcome to the age of Kali. Yoo-hoo! Haribo! We are actually fortunate because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come and he says, hey, don't get depressed. It's age of Kali. It's a great time for chanting the holy name. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Rama Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare. After all of the kirtan yesterday evening, did anyone feel like, couldn't we chant some other mantra? No? No? Yeah, so this is one indicator that this is spiritual mantra. We can go on chanting it perpetually. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Further discussion, comments, question, briefly. Yes, Anuradha.
About Sanskrit, the correction, I don't know, sometimes people don't know how to
Yeah. Well, if Prabhupada translates yajna, which is how it's usually pronounced in North India, Bengali speaking and also Hindi speaking, they seem to pronounce like this, and no one really complains. South Indian pundits, they might complain. And they might want to say, no, it's yajna. But then those same South Indian pundits will say, it's not Krishna, it's Krishna. Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Yeah. And, well, that's not, I mean, we received the Hare Krishna mantra from Srila Prabhupada, and he chanted Hare Krishna. So it can be either yajna or yajna. Yeah. Not so important. I like to tell this episode. I told in Germany a few days ago that Jayananda Prabhu, who Srila Prabhupada honored in incredible ways as having, when he left his body, gone back home, back to God. So, prior to this, Tamal Krishna Maharaj one time was worried that Jayananda was not pronouncing the Gayatri Mantra correctly. I don't know why he thought that, because he's usually chanted silently. Anyway, he was worried about this. If you knew Tamal Krishna Maharaj, you'd sort of understand, yeah, this was part of how he was. Very sweet devotee, but sometimes very... he was known as something of a... inclined to control how things happen. Anyway, so he decided, you know, we better fix this. So he arranged with Prabhupada to have Jayananda come in and sit and pronounce the Gayatri Mantra for Srila Prabhupada to correct. So Prabhupada agreed, okay, bring him in. So he sat down and he started to chant the mantra. And he started to chant the mantra. He only got it maybe halfway through. Halfway through, it's not a very long mantra. But he got maybe halfway through and Prabhupada just started laughing. And he shook his head and he said, it's okay, it doesn't matter. And he also told Jananivas Prabhu in Mayapur, who he personally trained as a pujari, how to worship Radha Madhava and also Shalagram Shila. Jananivas is originally from England, and Prabhupada said, you could chant the mantras in English. Mantra in English? Because there are so many mantras in Sanskrit that one might chant. He said, you can chant in English. It doesn't matter. On the other side, I was present when Prabhupada chanted the first verse of Bhagavad Gita for a class, Bhaktivedanta Manor. Okay. How does it go? Kim. Prabhupada several times corrected the person who at that time was the GBC of France and England and Italy and all over the world. And maybe Prabhupada wanted to humble him a little bit, but he kept correcting him as he was chanting. Kim makur vata samjaya. Prabhupada said, Kim. 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 No, Kim. Two, three, four times he corrected him. So, yeah, Prabhupada also liked nice chanting of the Sanskrit. And he was very pleased when Hridayananda Goswami memorized the entire Ishopanishad, the Sanskrit. It's not that long. It's 18 verses plus the invocation. But in those days, this was early 70s, nobody dreamt of memorizing verses, what to speak of. 18 verses. Whoa! 18 verses. And Prabhupada was so pleased. So that's the other side. Yeah. Right, something else?
Thank you.
Savina.
I have a question. We cannot really perceive Krishna with this material senses. Mm-hmm. And it says in this verse that the transcendental form of eternal bliss and knowledge can be experienced by our original spiritual senses, which can be revived by chanting of the holy mantras or transcendental self-representation. So I was wondering if actually chanting reveals Krishna's form, why do we then have to also use our imagination as like smaranam and to remember his pastimes? I mean, it goes like hand in hand, or to comment. If we cannot really perceive him with our minds,
Well, first point is that Thakur says, name, form, qualities, pastimes are revealed kind of sequentially. Nama, rupa, guna, lila. But at the same time, nama is also a form. That's the point being made in this verse. It's a type of form. Going back to Aristotle, you can perceive it. That means it's got form. Otherwise, you couldn't perceive it. So it's sound form, and it's audible sound. There's four levels of sound, three of which we can't hear. One of them we hear in our minds, so to say. We're thinking, we hear some chatter up there. But the sound is a form. And there's a kind of sequence to it. But to your question, so why not remember? If the memory is remembrance of Krishna, then that's part of the whole spirituality. Then that is spiritual, if we're remembering Krishna. If someone is reminding of us of Krishna and we go, oh yes, Krishna, then that's all part of the process, and we can say that's part of what Sankirtan is. Someone bodhayanta parasparam, someone causes us, bodhayanta is the causative form, to awaken, causing someone to be awake or to remember, to recall. Oh, that's a big topic. It's one time Prabhupada said, it's not imagination. He said, picture a diamond throne in your heart, and Radha and Krishna are on this throne. It is not imagination, meaning it is not fantasy. So a distinction in English would be between imagination and fantasy. Fantasy is, you know, you make it up. Imagination is calling to image, to form that which is existing. And so from that perspective, you can say it's simply a function of the mind with the intelligence. One example I give is, we hear, we read descriptions of Krishna's pastimes, and then someone who's an artist may paint what they've heard, but not all the details which will go into the painting you will find in the description. So much of it will be from some sort of experience of the artist. But where is that experience coming from? Ultimately, that's coming from Krishna. And the practice of devotional service is purifying. And because it's purifying, we have some adhikara, some qualification to express ourselves, to imagine. We have some qualification because of engaging in the practice. This gives us some qualification to bring the various, you can say, loose ends of what we hear together. You can say that's also a kind of way of understanding. Imagination is putting the loose pieces together from all that we hear, all that we read, all that we experience. Does that make any sense? Whew. I'm glad it made sense to you. It didn't make much sense to me. Uh-oh. Hare Krishna. Okay, I think we'll stop there. Thank you all very much. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Shri Shri Pancha Tattva ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki. Shri Harinam Sankirtana ki. Jai.